you, and we have been joined by our wonderful studio guest for today.
Yes, we do. We have the lovely Vanessa Matthews from Matthews Family Law, who has joined us today, who's the founder and managing director of Matthews Family Law, and has come to talk to us today about a specific topic which we're quite intrigued about, and the role and rights of grandparents under the Family Law Act, FLA, put another acronym into my learning at the moment. So grandparents can play a significant role in a child's life. They may also be the child's primary caregiver. And we had a chat about that earlier about, you know, there's sometimes less grandparents and more grandparents in different families and different family situations. And sometimes they can be acting as the mother or father. So a lot of people can be involved in, I imagine, family law from that perspective. So Vanessa's going to talk to us all about that today. So welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming back on and talking to us. So tell us a little bit about that Family Law Act as it relates to grandparents.
Well, I think that most of us are aware that the Family Law Act will apply to the parties to a marriage or to a de facto relationship, and assisting them to make arrangements in respect of the division of assets, but also arrangements with respect to the post-separation parenting of their children.
Yes.
So that's quite familiar to all of us, and we probably all know somebody who's been, you know, a family or a friend or even yourself who's been through an experience of needing to negotiate what the children's parenting living arrangements will be. And last time I was here, we talked about the role of family dispute resolution and mediation in helping with that process. But people might be less aware or even unaware of the scope of the Family Law Act to assist grandparents who might find themselves in a situation where they either want to spend time with their grandchild, or they might be called upon, for whatever circumstances, to take on, as you said, Nicole, almost a parenting role of that child, or maybe multiple children even. There might be a situation where, for example, due to health issues, a parent or both parents are actually unable to discharge the day-to-day responsibilities of caring for children of any age. And this is where the Family Law Act can step in and assist to make those arrangements.
I was very unaware of that. So, you know, even if I think about my own situation where children are unwell and you need to be with one child, and then what, you know, the support that you sort of gain from your parents and your support network, but supporting them is obviously another part of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess also it is so important when I think about grandparents, I think about the really important role and the special role they have in children's lives. So that's something that we would want to obviously nurture and support and ensure that very strong relationship, when there is a strong relationship, is allowed to continue in the best way.
Absolutely. So the Family Law Act is available to make a parenting order for the parents of a child, but there's another provision that says that any person concerned with the care, welfare or development of the child can also make an application for an order.
Yep.
So this is a fairly broad category of people, and that's where grandparents fall in.
Yeah.
You might have a situation where auntie or uncle or a non-family member who's been caring for the child steps in and seeks that order, but that's certainly the relevant section of the Act where a grandparent would be recognised by the court as having what we call standing to make an application. So it might be that there's a situation where a parent is perhaps unwilling to care for a child. They might be perhaps unable to care for a child, or they might want to and have the best endeavours, but they actually don't have the capacity to care for the child. And it's in those situations where there may be concerns about the child's well-being, and so an application is made by the grandparents to step in and fill the role of the parent, either in part or in full. It's not that people are saying, I want to take over.
Yes.
It might be that they're saying, I can offer support and assistance, but I need the benefit of a court order to recognise my role and support me. So that if, for example, I, the grandparent, need to take the grandchild to the doctor will recognise me as having authority to obtain medical treatment for the child, instead of the doctor saying, oh, as much as I'd like to help you, you're not the parent.
Yes.
But if the grandparent has got a significant role in the child's life and they've got the court order, that could be placed on the court's file at the doctor's or the hospital or in the school, wherever important decisions are being made about that child. And then it's a smooth process from then on.
So they can make decisions on the child's behalf. So that's really where the court order comes into play. It's about helping make decisions for that child with their best interest at that
helping
time.
To ensure that there are no gaps.
Yes.
And, Vanessa, it's interesting to note, I guess, and you can verify this, that this is something I wasn't aware of, that grandparents don't actually have a right to spend time with their grandchildren. So this is where the Family Law Act comes in as well. So it might be in the case of a family breaking up, the grandparents might say, well, I still want to see my grandchildren and expect that that would occur, but it doesn't necessarily.
No, I didn't know that.
That can be a sad situation.
Yeah, isn't it?
Very sad. Under the Family Law Act, parents are presumed to have all of the rights in respect of their children, but grandparents are not presumed to have those rights, so they actually need to apply to the court for a right, in effect, or a court order that
which
gives them a right.
You wouldn't expect that to do.
Yes.
So sometimes we see situations where perhaps the relationship between the parent and the grandparent has broken down.
Okay. Yeah.
For example, mum and dad's relationship has broken down, and the children might be living with me as the primary caregiver, but I'm feeling estranged from my former in-laws.
Okay.
And I don't have a strong relationship with them or vice versa.
Mm. Yep.
And there's a barrier to us being able to make arrangements that allow them to spend time with the child.
Yes.
So it might be that the grandparents seek an order for that to occur. That would be an unusual situation because the court would then need to give very, very close consideration to the effect on the child of a court order requiring that they spend time with that grandparent if I'm not supportive of that relationship.
Yes.
So that's a really tricky one.
And it had to be the child being at the centre of that, being in the best interest of the child, I imagine, is of the priority. Establishing that is always the tricky part, as we mentioned in the last time we had you on.
Yeah. Balancing out the child's needs with what it is that the adults around them are wanting might not necessarily be best for the child, but on the other hand, it might be found to be in the best interests of the child and an order made.
Okay.
And what type of order might a grandparent apply for in that case?
So a grandparent can apply for the full range of parenting of orders that are available under the Family Law Act. We know that when a child is born, the parents are automatically presumed to have all of the rights and responsibilities for the care, welfare and development of that child. And it's only if that right is taken away by a court order. And that might occur if, for example, one or both of the parents has serious mental health issues, drugs or alcohol, something like this, which prevents them from parenting effectively and safely for the child.
Yes.
So it might be in an extreme situation that a parent, that those rights, what we call parental responsibility rights, are removed or modified and some of those rights transferred over to a grandparent. And that might be in a situation where that grandparent's perhaps got the full-time care of the child and the parents aren't really very involved with the child at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or it might be that some rights are transferred over to the grandparents. So it might be, for example, that responsibility for medical and education type decisions are made.
Yes.
So they're the parental responsibility type rights.
Yes.
But then there's also rights with respect to spending time and who the child should live with, which parent or grandparent the child should live with, and how much time they should spend.
Okay. Okay. I guess this could happen if someone was incarcerated, put in jail, as you said, they're drug affected, or simply, you know, might be medical for themselves, they're unable to do that, where they might call upon a parent, or a parent is just the grandparent is the next natural person or carer that's sort of in line. Would it also be the same for aunts and uncles? Is it kind of a group? Does the Family Law Act recognise other carers in that family space as well as grandparents in a similar way?
Yes. So if somebody can establish that they have a concern for the care, welfare and development of the child, then they would be eligible to apply for a court order. So that could be an auntie or an uncle or perhaps a sibling, an older sibling, over 18, who's worried about their younger siblings or wants to take on some responsibilities in lieu of the parents not being able to effectively do that for whatever reason.
Gee, there's a lot to it, isn't there? Information. We're speaking with Vanessa Matthews, accredited family law specialist and the director of Matthews Family Law and Mediation Services, talking all things the role and rights of grandparents under the Family Law Act. And we're going to go to a quick break, but we will be back with more after this. It's 25 minutes to 6 on 94.1 3WBC Big Life Conversation.
Simple and true, the old and the new, it's who we are. The doubts and the dreams, the moments between, it's who we are. We stay together. We stay right. We stay together. Oh, we stay right here. The hours and days, the memories we make are yours and mine. The highs and the lows, the long winding are yours and mine. Yeah, we stay together. We stay right here. We stay together.
Andrew Gallucci with We Stay Today. Together. Absolutely. We're really chilling out here in the studio today. 94.1 3WBC. This is Big Life Conversation.
We do have Vanessa Matthews in the house, founder and managing director of Matthews Family Law, and we've been talking about the roles and rights of grandparents. And looking at what type of court order might a grandparent apply for. So following on from that, what basis will a court make a court order in favour of a grandparent? So let's hear about some of those reasons.
So the court will always make an order with respect to a child where that order is based on the child's best interests. And the Family Law Act sets out a long and complicated process for the court to determine what is in fact going to be in the child's best interest. And often the best way to obtain evidence about what will be in a child's best interests is to hear from the parents and the grandparents who are applying for the court order, but also to hear from an expert. So it might be that the court orders that what's called a family report, that a family report be prepared. So a referral will be made to one of the court-approved social scientists, like a psychologist or a social worker.
Yes.
And that person will meet with the parties, the parents, the grandparents, whoever else is involved in the case. And depending on the age of the child, they'll also likely meet with the child and they'll form an assessment of the overall family situation and what it is that the child needs. And then they'll make recommendations as to who they think's got the capacity to meet the child's best interests and what it is that the actual arrangement should look like in their opinion.
Okay.
So it'll usually be a written report setting that out, and that will be submitted to the judge as an independent expert witness report.
I imagine with your skills, Vanessa, are you able to do the reports as well, or would you keep that very separate if you were in that
mediation yes.
space? Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So as the lawyers, we prepare the court case. So I might be the lawyer acting on behalf of the grandparent, and I will prepare the application and the affidavit setting out the reasons why they are seeking the parenting order, and reasons in support, what their concerns are and what their proposals are for the order. And then the other parties will have their own separate representation. It might be that if it's appropriate, the child will have their own lawyer appointed by the court and funded by Victoria Legal Aid. But the expert witness social scientist will be independently appointed by the court and not prepared by one of the lawyers.
Terms of the child, I guess, are we talking about the generally defined age range of, would it be up to 18 or?
So the Family Law Act does only apply to children up to 18 years of age.
Yep.
But it's very rare that we would be filing an application with respect to a child. Even 13 and 14 would be quite unusual.
Okay.
Because when the judge is considering what will be in the best interests of the child, there is the option to consider the child's wishes, and the child can express their wishes to that report writer and to their independent children's lawyer if that has been appointed. And the social scientist will make their own assessment of how much weight they should give to the child's wishes, taking into consideration things like the child's age, the child's maturity, other pressures that might be on the child.
Yes.
And then they can include that in their report. They might say, I found the child to be very very mature and to have good understanding and appreciation for their situation, for their parents' situation, for their grandparents' situation, and so on. Whereas another child of the same age, maybe the same exact same age, but not with the same maturity, and so not as much weight would be given to that.
So I imagine the level of responsibility related to that maturity would be quite important. So if they could actually do some of their day-to-day activities for themselves, then it'd be less likely that they might need additional support. Is that part of
decision? When a child is able to express their wishes, it's not really going to be helpful to have a court order telling the child something different, that they have to do something different.
Yes.
And you know what? Often you'll find that the child will vote with their feet anyway.
Yes.
It might be that there's a court order saying that they have to spend time with their parent or their grandparent or whoever, but they don't want to.
Yes.
And nobody's going to be telling a 14 or 15 year old, there's a court order saying you have to do that. So there are better, more therapeutic style ways of preserving and maintaining the relationship between that older child and other important people in their lives rather than imposing a court order on them, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Vanessa, from the time of lodging the application to sort of implementing it and getting something in place, does that take very long? We know that, you know, often legal things can take an awful long time. What does this sort of look like?
Yeah, look, you could easily be looking at something like 12 months.
Wow.
The problem is that both the Federal Circuit Court and the Family Court have significant backlogs and delays, and we're hearing a lot about that in the media with the Australian Law Reform Commission that's underway at the moment with some interim recommendations having been passed to the federal government and some discussion of a family law commission and so on. But until those issues are resolved, people would have to be prepared for quite a long protracted experience unless at some point along the way they were able to reach a consent negotiation and agree to what we call orders by consent.
Yes.
You still get an order that's made by the court, but it's been made with the consent of the parties. And that can happen at any time. Once you've started a court case, you can settle that court case at any time.
Ah. Okay.
But if you can't,
yes,
then you're in for the long haul. Could be 12 months.
So that could be another way forward, which I imagine mediation could come into that conversation, as you were saying last week, how, you know, if you want to negotiate and have sort of a quicker resolution, mediation could be a good process and maybe a more timely process and maybe a bit cheaper. Process for people. So, you know, finding ways where you can communicate and come to a reasonable agreement.
Absolutely. Okay. You'll remember from last time when we spoke about mediation and alternative dispute resolution, it is a pre-court requirement that people first of all attempt out-of-court mediation, known as family dispute resolution, which is a special type of mediation under the Family Law Act with wonderful community-based centres known as family relationship centres that offer this service. I think it's free, up to 3 appointments, and it can be very effective in keeping people out of court. A parenting plan can be written up, signed off by the parties, or a court order by consent can be prepared and submitted.
So, for example, with those orders by consent, it might be if the child's already living with the grandparent in an informal arrangement. That's one example
Absolutely.
Of when that might apply. Yeah. Yeah,
and it might be an obvious outcome that doesn't really need – it's not a contested matter. It's not a matter in dispute between the parents and the grandparents. It's accepted, it's recognised, it's acknowledged that that is a good arrangement for the child to be living with grandparent and maybe with parents having some more or less involvement. So there really shouldn't be too much drama around having a court order made by consent. But the benefit of that is that everybody knows where they stand. And I go back again to that example of when grandparent has to take the child to the doctor, the hospital, or school.
That's right.
And they're not recognised. And there's a lot of, I imagine, that would be a really frustrating and
tricky one.
Like a go round in circles.
Yes. Stressful.
When all you're trying to do is help the child, but you're hamstrung. Mm.
So I always wanted to know what that line item was on my forms. And, you know, my kids are in school, but they always ask whether it's school camp, medical information, nurse information, after school care.
They do. Yeah.
Is there any family law orders with, you know, related to this child. Yes, no. And I'm always like, what is that all about?
Yes.
I'm understanding that a lot more now. Why. And yes, you could see if grandparents are taking full care or responsibility of a child where you've got working families, you'd want to be able to take them to the doctors and have some rights around that. You'd want to be able to have discussions in parent-teacher interviews and things like that, which I imagine it could apply to there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. 12 minutes to 6 here on Big Life Conversation. We are speaking with Vanessa Matthews, accredited family law specialist from Matthews Family Law and Mediation Services. And when we come back, we're going to talk, Vanessa, about community support for grandparents. So we were talking about the role, but it'd be interesting to get some idea of what support is available out there for grandparents in the roles that they may be playing. 94.1 3WBC.
I wish I could swim just like a dolphin, like dolphins can swim. But nothing, nothing keep us together. Yeah, we can be here forever, ever. 'Cause we can be
of Youths with Heroes. 9 minutes to 6 on Big Life Conversation. We are speaking with Vanessa Matthews from Vanessa from Matthews Family Law and Mediation Services, talking about the role and rights of grandparents under the Family Law Act.
Yeah, been very interesting, hasn't it?
It has.
We wanted to find out a little bit more. I know we've talked about the orders of consent and some of the parental responsibility orders, but what are the other community supports for grandparents in these situations?
I think it's really important that the role of grandparents is recognised and there are support services available for them. I mentioned before some of the community-based services like the family relationship centres. We've got places like Relationships Australia,
yes,
who can all provide counselling types of services, mediation and dispute resolution services. But there's also the Department of Health and Human Services, which is also able to provide direct financial support for grandparents. So, for example, there is Centrelink benefits known as grandparent childcare benefits, family tax benefits, which might ordinarily have been paid to the parent, can be instead paid to a grandparent.
I imagine that's if there's an order in place.
I don't know that you'd have to have an order in place.
Okay.
I think that the assessment process by Centrelink might be an easier process that doesn't maybe require a court order. But if you can satisfy Centrelink that you are a grandparent with carer responsibilities, I think not having a court order shouldn't deter you from making inquiries.
From making inquiries, absolutely.
Wow.
There are also direct financial benefits that are available if the grandparent is caring for a child with health needs, for example, a disabled child. There might be some extra parent benefits like carer payment, carer allowance and child disability payments.
Okay.
I think there might also be a grandparent association people could look for in online. But there are lots of resources. The Department of Health and Human Services would be a good place to start. If people have more questions about this issue in terms of the legal aspect of it, they can go to the Federal Circuit Court website, so www.federalcircuitcourt.gov.au, and search for grandparents, and that will provide a summary of the options for grandparents looking for parenting orders and the processes for how
great.
To apply.
Excellent. So it's a nice resource that we can head people in the direction of as well. So the government supports, but also your local and community supports as well.
Absolutely. Vanessa, thank you so much for coming in and sharing all that really important information that will be very relevant to many people. If you have been listening, we have been talking about the role and rights of grandparents under the Family Law Act with Vanessa Matthews from Matthews Family Law and Mediation Services. It's always wonderful having you come in and share this information.
I've learned a few new things.
And it is often difficult information for people to access, and then they can take this and take it further if they need to, make further inquiries if this is relevant to them. So we are indebted to you. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yes.
And it